Hi folks, I am Alan Watt and this is Cutting Through the Matrix.
Money was the first trick, and out of money comes an elite class that then dominates the rest through this trick. And it's all based on a psychopathic nature. Predators at the top are interbred. They have been for probably thousands of years, because money marries money. And money at the top has never married for any of this pretty modern invention called love. It was promoted by Hollywood. Most folk got married in the past, even the lower classes, through necessity, because you needed a big family to help till the land and do all the work to sustain yourself. Everyone had to chip in. But the elite never married for even for those reasons. They married for wealth and intellect, the intellect of other ones who were cunning and rose to the top over the backs of the people. And they interbred money and power with the same psychopathic personalities, because to get to the top in any era in this monetary system, you had to be utterly ruthless. Utterly ruthless. And that's still the culture today. The Frankfurt School went into this in great detail because they were the middlemen that were put out and authorized by Britain to come over from Nazi Germany just before the war started, the Second World War. And some of those guys had formed a particular club to look into culture creation. And they were employed by Britain initially, and then eventually the CIA. So the intelligence services used them, along with the big foundations, like the Ford and Carnegie and the Rockefeller foundations, the big front organizations that really were powerful institutions that would always promote non-governmental organizations and pretend that they were speaking on behalf of the public, demanding that laws get passed, etc., guiding the public, the whole world really, along a certain path. But their job at the Frankfurt School when they came over was to go into how the American culture was created, primarily because it was the most capitalistic culture. The culture revolved around capitalism and marketing. And even the songs that the children sang were all to do with little ads and jingles that they heard. And the big companies like McDonald's even had singing classes at camps, summer camps, where they'd teach the children these jingle songs. And the parents thought that was all very, very nice, as they got brainwashed into eating all this junk food. And I think this even still goes on today. Completely intermeshed with the culture. And the last ones to realize it were this fairly recent generation who grew up through it. The Frankfurt School refers to a group of German-American theorists who developed powerful analysis of the changes in Western capitalist societies that occurred since the classical theory of Marx. Working at the Institute for Sozialforschung in Frankfurt, Germany in the late 1920s and early 1930s, theorists such as Marx, Horkheimer, T.W. Adorno, that's Theo Adorno, I've talked about him before, amazing books he turned out. It's certainly an amazing mind. It's up to you whether you agree with them or not. Herbert Marcuse, Leo Lowenthal, and Eric Fromm. Eric Fromm also churned out a lot of books and produced some of the first accounts within critical society, a social theory of the importance of mass culture and communication in social reproduction and domination. The Frankfurt School also generated one of the first models of a critical cultural studies that analyzes the processes of cultural production and political economy, the politics of cultural texts, and audience reception and use of cultural artifacts. Moving from Nazi Germany to the United States, the Frankfurt School experienced at first hand the rise of a media culture involving film, that's movies and so on, popular music, radio, television, and other forms of mass culture. In the United States, where they found themselves in exile, media production was by and large a form of commercial entertainment controlled by big corporations. Two of its key theorists, Marx Horkheimer and T.W. Adorno, developed an account of the cultural industry. They called it the culture industry, to call attention to the industrialization and commercialization of culture under capitalist relations of production. This situation was most marked in the United States, that had little state support of film or television industries, and where a highly commercial mass culture emerged that came to be a distinctive feature of capitalist societies and a focus of critical cultural studies. During the 1930s, the Frankfurt School developed a critical and transdisciplinary approach to cultural and communications studies, combining political economy, the textual analysis, and analysis of social and ideological effects of. They coined the term culture industry to signify the process of the industrialization of mass-produced culture and the commercial imperatives, they call commercial imperatives, that drove the system. The critical theorists analyzed all mass-mediated cultural artifacts within the context of industrial production, in which the commodities of the culture industries exhibited the same features as other products of mass production: commodification, standardization, and massification. Now, if you look at how far back, even in the movies, they were showing you certain brands of cars in movies. They'd tell you who made the clothes for the sets. That's the fashion industry there. And various other features. You have phenomenons that were created, like Elvis Presley. Look at all the cars you would see in each of these movies, and the clothes and fashions, etc. It was all planned with all those groups together, these big groups like the ones like Bernays ran. The cultural industries had the specific function, however, of providing ideological legitimation of existing capitalist societies and of integrating individuals into its way of life. So you don't realize that the culture that you're given is put out by guys like Bernays, a man who could literally con a nation to go into war with another country because he had vested interests. He was getting paid by the main company that literally was bananas. That controlled that country. He wanted the guy out who was voted in, and he got the US to go to war and bomb them. That's the power of persuasion. And Bernays himself set up a movie industry to deal with that specific subject, and it turned out propaganda was shown over all the cinemas everywhere, full of lies about this particular prime minister who'd been voted in. And that won over the minds of the people. That's how easy it is. If it's on the screen, if it's on TV, it must be true. That's how simple it is. That was in Wag the Dog, same thing. That's why Woody Allen called that movie Bananas. He knew. Adorno's analysis of popular music, television, and other phenomena, ranging from astrology columns to fascist speeches, in everything that's in your society, everything that's in the newspaper, from astrology columns to fascist speeches, everything that will influence people. Lowenthal's studies of popular literature and magazines, Herzog's study of radio soap operas. So they were even studying radio soap operas back then to see how it affected culture. And it was affecting the culture. They had tremendous results and amazing information they were compiling about societies. And the perspectives and critiques of mass culture developed by Horkheimer and Adorno's famous study of the cultural industries, which he published in 1970, or it was published in 1972. This is provide many examples of the Frankfurt School approach. Moreover, in their theories of the culture industries and the critiques of mass culture, they were among the first social theorists its importance in the reproduction of contemporary societies. In their view, mass culture and communication stand in the center of leisure activity. They are important agents of socialization. They're mediators of political reality and should thus be seen as major institutions of contemporary societies with a variety of economic, political, and social effects. Going into the writings of Bernays and that series of videos I've got up on my site from two or three nights ago, you'll see how they literally created a modern American culture. If you look at the movie, you can buy the movie. It's called Hollywoodism, or Hollywood and the Culture Industry. you'll hear the top producers of movies and the owners of the big companies in Hollywood saying, we gave the Americans their culture. We created American culture. And what they claimed was before Hollywood came along, there was no real unified culture. You had different immigrants from different areas in Europe who settled in different areas who kept their old cultures, often a little bit different from each other. So Hollywood is claiming that they helped unify the country in the 1900s by giving them movies and giving them a past, the cowboy past, that only lasted a few years, remember, before the trains came through. Furthermore, the critical theorists investigated the cultural industries in a political context as a form of the integration of the working class into capitalist societies. The Frankfurt School theorists were amongst the first neo-Marxian groups to examine the effects of mass culture and the rise of the consumer society on the working classes, which were to be the instrument of revolution in the classical Marxian scenario. See, Marxism, they knew, could not win in a society where basic necessities were available to pretty well everyone. They also analyzed the ways that the culture industries and consumer society were stabilizing contemporary capitalism and accordingly sought new strategies for political change. See, they were after, these guys in this group were after political change, a directed change. And some of them, like Theodorno and so on, were used during World War II, along with many other well-known writers of that period, by MI5. And yet these guys were actually classified as Trotskyites. They were believers in the Trotsky perpetual revolution idea. So Conway sought new strategies for political change, agencies of political transformation, and models for political emancipation that could serve as norms of social critique and goals for political struggle. This project required rethinking Marxian theory and produced many important contributions, as well as some problematic positions. Now remember, too, they wanted to separate the youth from the older using the classical techniques of communism, because they wanted a fresh start with new youth who were in touch with parents. You must divide parents from the youth to get a new idea across. You must make the parents seem old-fashioned and out of touch. And that your teachers, because they went through universities primarily in schools, to reshape the minds of the young. But the teachers were closer to you generally in age and importance and knowledge, where old mum and dad didn't know much at all. They were old think. And in fact, in this particular school, that's where these terms came from that Orwell used. Good and ungood and terms like that. They used these terms amongst themselves. The Frankfurt School focused intently on technology and culture, indicating how technology was becoming both a major force of production and a formative mode of social organization and control. Well, don't we know it today? Because with every invention that comes along, we're under more and more control. For every invention, in fact, remember, one of the definitions of technology is to alter culture. That's one definition that has been given at a top science meeting. In a 1941 article, Some Social Implications of Modern Technology, Herbert Marcuse argued that technology in the contemporary era constitutes an entire mode of organizing and perpetuating or changing social relationships, a manifestation of prevalent thought and behavior patterns, an instrument for control and domination. So as we think we're getting freed up with all the gizmos and gadgets we're given to communicate, we're actually being enslaved and monitored and watched and patterned. Get your own pattern. Hi folks, I'm Alan Watt and we're cutting through the matrix, going through an article from a university on this particular Frankfurt School. They sometimes call themselves the dispossessed. As I say, some of them were actually recruited by MI5 and 6 during World War, or they were actually called, MI6 was still the OSS. at that time, but they recruited a lot of these guys. They were called the dispossessed. And some of them couldn't get on with them at all because they were so rigid in their views of things, because they were technically and proudly, some of them, pure Trotskyite in their beliefs that they must always have continual conflict to speed up the process of evolution rather than that happen naturally, as they claimed. It says here, in the 1941 article, this is Some Social Implications of Modern Technology by Herbert Marcuse. He said, in the realm of culture, technology produced mass culture. Technology produced mass culture that habituated individuals to conform to the dominant patterns of thought and behavior, and thus provided powerful instruments for social control and domination. Victims of European fascism, the Frankfurt School experienced firsthand the ways that the Nazis used the instruments of mass culture to produce submission to fascist culture and society. Now, they also knew perfectly well the Sovietized system as well. They knew both of this, both these systems. While in exile in the United States, the members of the Frankfurt School came to believe that American popular culture was also highly ideological and worked to promote the interests of American capitalism. But it was directed, you see, in a planned culture. So if they promoted the interests of American capitalism, they could bring about this new blend, not quite Soviet, not quite capitalist. Remember, that was the aim of setting up the communist system in the first place. Lenin said that himself. Controlled by giant corporations, the culture industries were organized according to the strictures of mass production, churning out mass-produced products that generated a highly commercial system of culture, which in turn sold the values, lifestyles, and institutions of the American way of life. Remember what Skinner said? You alter behavior, you alter something in the environment of the subject. TVs, radios, and we've got so many gadgets today. You walk a lot, you see people on the streets yapping away into their cell phones, oblivious of real people around them. The work of the Frankfurt School provided what Paul Lazarsfeld, one of the originators of modern communication studies, and that's a very important area, modern communication studies. It's not just how they do it, how they communicate. They're actually talking about the studies on people, called the critical approach, which he distinguished from the administrative research. The positions of Adorno, Lowenthal, and other members of the inner circle of the Institute for Social Research, very important institute, were contested by Walter Benjamin, an idiosyncratic theorist loosely affiliated with the Institute. Benjamin, writing in Paris during the 1930s, discerned progressive aspects in new technologies of cultural production, such as photography, film, and radio. Hi, folks. I'm Alan Water, and we're studying through the Matrix. This past week, I've been doing shows on how we're controlled by media and entertainment and even by the massive marketing companies, really, that started it all off and getting us to buy their products. And they did it by studying us in so many different ways we had no idea we were even being studied. This eventually was incorporated into governments, and all government now uses what they call PR, which is really the same techniques of psychological manipulation of masses. And I've given some of the history of that, some of those involved in it, like Bernays and others, and there's some quite a few before him, in fact, too. He didn't dream up this whole science by himself. Power over the masses has always been of critical importance to those who already rule and to those who would like to get up there and rule. And last night I talked about the Frankfurt School, very important school, because many of its members and those who were taught by those who came over went right into the music business and into writing novels and writing movies with a particular twist to get you to think along a certain direction, which they wanted you to think along. It's kind of different than passing out pamphlets and asking people to read it to create social awareness. this is actually manipulation through your emotions and through those things which you like. It's a very clever technique. This is the technique that Lord Bertrand Russell talked about when he says we have to get Madison Avenue, meaning the big marketing companies, those who understood mass psychology, on board to create this new order of things. So I'm going to continue with this report on the Frankfurt School tonight. And here's the unfortunate thing. For those, really, who want the usual kind of show, I have decided I have to go higher to help those who want to understand. Many people don't want to understand the truth. They already believe they have it all. They're in their pigeonholes. They've taken their stances. They're in their sides. And they see their enemies. And they'll probably stay there forever. And they attack anyone who doesn't go along with them. And that's just too bad. If you understand the kind of material I'm giving out, you'll understand how it's all done. And how even your enemies are given to you. It says the work of the Frankfurt School provided what Paul Lazarsfield in 1942, one of the originators of modern communication studies, that wasn't how to use a radio. That was how you get thoughts and ideas across to people, called a critical approach, which he distinguished from the administrative research. The positions of Adorno, Lowenthal, and other members of the inner circle of the Institute for Social Research were contested by Walter Benjamin, an idiosyncratic theorist loosely affiliated with the Institute. Benjamin, writing in Paris during the 1930s, discerned progressive aspects in new technologies of cultural production, right, such as photography, film, and radio. It's amazing to how single shots of people or events that are put on mainstream magazines can have such an impact on us. In the work of art and in the age of mechanical reproduction, this is what Benjamin wrote, Benjamin noted how new mass media were supplanting older forms of culture, whereby the mass reproduction of photography, film, recordings, and publications replaced the emphasis on the originality and aura of the work of art in an earlier era. Freed from the mystification of high culture, Benjamin believed that media culture could cultivate more critical individuals able to judge and analyze their culture, just as sports fans could dissect and evaluate athletic activities. In addition, processing the rush of images of cinema created, Benjamin believed subjectivities better able to parry and comprehend the flux and turbulence of experience in industrialized, urbanized societies. And you have to bear with me as we go through this, because they're telling you really how it works. Himself a collaborator in the prolific German artist Bertolt Brecht, Benjamin worked with Brecht on films, created radio plays, and attempted to utilize the media as organs of social progress. In the essay The Artist as Producer, 1999, Benjamin argued that progressive culture, and this is what they call them, progressive cultural creators should refunction the apparatus of cultural production, turning theater and film, for instance, into a forum of political enlightenment. Now, that could also be said to be propaganda and discussion rather than a medium of culinary audience pleasure. Both Brecht and Benjamin wrote radio plays and were interested in film as an instrument of progressive social change. In an essay on radio theory, Brecht anticipated the internet in his call for reconstructing the apparatus of broadcasting from one-way transmission to a more interactive form of two-way or multiple communication, a form first realized in CB radio and then electronically mediated computer communication. So these guys were way ahead on what was coming up. Now, were they just good guessers, or did they have such fantastic faith in the progress of science? Remember Arthur C. Clarke, another sci-fi writer, was way ahead too. Where did he get his knowledge? He got a Nobel Prize for predicting that satellites would revolve around the Earth and be used for incredible communication devices. But he was in on the big institutes, which are way ahead already on a lot of this science. That's how it was done. Moreover, Benjamin wished to promote a radical culture and media politics concerned with the creation of alternative oppositional cultures. Yet he recognized that media such as film could have conservative effects. While he thought it was progressive that mass-produced works were losing their aura, their magical force, and were opening cultural artifacts for more critical and political discussion, he recognized that film could create a new kind of ideological magic through the cult of celebrity. So he dreamed up the cult of celebrity and techniques like that, a close-up that fetishized certain stars or images via the technology of the cinema. They realized they could create stars, in other words, that people would follow. But the idea, too, was to use these stars to promote the new culture, a political culture. And that's what we have today, too. You'll often see stars getting pulled out to give their opinions on something. But as others have noted, can a star have any more insight into politics than your average plumber? We don't think of it that way. We just think that they're famous, they're well-known, they must be brighter than we are because they're up there, and therefore whatever they say must be better than our own theories. So we adopt their theory. Benjamin was thus one of the first radical cultural critics to look carefully at the form and technology of media culture in appraising its complex nature and effects. What do we have today? Doesn't matter what paper you look at, what newspaper, or even watch the TV news, or even Google or Yahoo or whatever, you're going to get all the boob babes and their fallouts and their romances, etc. As they come and go and come and go and come and go forever. That's all due to these guys from the Frankfurt School. And using Bernays techniques, they mixed this in with regular media. Moreover, he developed a unique approach to cultural history that is one of his most enduring legacies, constituting a micrological history of Paris in the 18th century, an uncompleted project that contains a wealth of material for study and reflection. And they give you the names of the books here. Max Horkheimer and T.W. Adorno answered Benjamin's optimism in a highly influential analysis of the culture industry, published in their book Dialectic of Enlightenment, which first appeared in 1948 and was translated into English in 1972. They argued that the system of cultural production dominated by film, radio broadcasting, newspapers and magazines, and that included music and everything, was controlled by advertising and commercial imperatives and served to create subservience to the system of consumer capitalism. While later critics pronounced their approach too manipulative, reductive and elitist, it provided an important corrective to more populist approaches to media culture that downplay the way the media industries exert power over audiences and help produce thought and behavior that conforms to the existing society. So that was initially the conflict. So say you've got the power established as it already is, and you have a culture that's come out through consumerism, this altered behavior. As I said before, if you want to alter behavior, you alter something in the environment of the subject. And that's what you buy. That's what you put in your home. That's that little box you turn on and stare at and get hypnotized by, for instance. And here's this other group that came in who were Trotskyite and thought the dispossessed. They had no country, they said, no country left. And they had an agenda to take over this industry and use it for even further political Trotskyite purposes. Now, Trotsky, as I've said before, believed in this Marxism that was to do with evolution, it was coupled with Darwinism. Remember that Darwin himself had the offer from Karl Marx. Karl Marx wanted to put him in his book to thank him because he had validated this communist belief by giving out his theories on evolution. After all, the whole idea before that, the society prior to that was due to, it's a very fixed society. You had a sort of religious overtone in every country, with a head of that country who was the head of the religion. And in comes Darwinism and threw it all out the window. Hi folks, I'm Alan Watts and we're cutting through the matrix, going through what most people would see as very boring material, but it's in this kind of material where you find how not just us, not just we, but those before us were manipulated by organized groups, well-funded groups. And finding the funding of these groups is almost impossible. But they certainly were incredibly well-funded. And they were pushed to the top in all Western countries, mainly the US and Britain. Many of them also worked during the World War II with the OSS. And some of them even wrote books, novels, the idea being that through novels you could change the thinking of people. If you gave them a straight non-fictional work, they might be too prejudiced to go through it with preconditioned prejudices. But if you write something in a novel form, your mind can be altered as you get caught up in the story and taken through the process. And that's sometimes what they call it in these novels. It's a process. It's a mind-altering process where you'll actually be downloaded with things that you previously would have rejected on a cultural basis or a personal basis or a racial or ethnic basis or anything else. The Frankfurt School also provide useful historical perspectives on the transition from traditional culture and modernism in the arts to a mass-produced media and consumer society. In his path-breaking book, The Structural Transformation of the Public Sphere, Jürgen Habermas further historicizes Adorno and Horkheimer's analysis of the culture industry. And I keep harping on this, and it's right in here, the culture industry. We have been brought up to think it's an entertainment industry there to amuse us. And it's got nothing to do with amusing us. That's a secondary effect. It's to alter your thoughts and your way you see things and think about things. And the conclusions you'll come to are all in the movies. They know which conclusions you will come to. Providing historical background to the triumph of the culture industry, Habermas notes how bourgeois middle-class society in the late 18th and 19th century was distinguished by the rise of a public sphere that stood between civil society and the state, and which mediated between public and private interests. For the first time in history, individuals and groups could shape public opinion, giving direct expression to their needs and interests while influencing political practice. The middle-class public sphere made it possible to form a realm of public opinion that opposed state power and the powerful interests that were coming to shape bourgeois or middle-class society. Only by understanding how all this came about, as I say, and wading through it, we understand what's happening today. Because these same forces and same groups and those who believe in these particular, I wouldn't call them philosophies, some of these people do, but they knew where they were going, and they're still going there. That's what New World Order is all about. That's what Norman Dodds was talking about when he met the heads of the Ford Foundation and other foundations, who told them they were mixing the Sovietized system with the capitalist West, and it blended two cultures together seamlessly. And that's what we see today. It's here. It's been done. And funded by the big foundations, these charitable organizations, as we think of them. The same foundations that sponsor and pay thousands of NGO groups to push for laws and changes in society. And they have lobby groups, professional lobby groups, that get the ear of government at any time they wish. While Joe Average, who thinks he's in a democracy, simply can't. Habermas notes a transition from the liberal public sphere, which originated in the Enlightenment and the American and French Revolution, to a media-dominated public sphere in the current stage of what he calls welfare state capitalism and mass democracy. This historical transformation is grounded in Horkheimer and Adorno's analysis of the culture industry, in which giant corporations have taken over the public sphere and transformed it from a site of rational debate into one of manipulative consumption and passivity, That was the system that Bernays and his friends had given the West. Giant corporations have taken over the public sphere and transformed it from a site of rational debate into one of manipulative consumption and passivity through consumption. In this transformation, public opinion shifts from rational consensus emerging from debate, discussion, and reflection to the manufactured opinion of polls or media experts. For Habermas, the interconnection between the sphere of public debate and individual participation has thus been fractured and transmuted into that of a realm of political manipulation and spectacle, in which citizen consumers ingest and absorb passivity, entertainment, and information. Passivity, entertainment, and information. What was it that Russell and Huxley talked about? Giving us trivia. And Huxley talked about giving the people very base, simple comedies and things like that. In Habermas's words, inasmuch as the mass media today strip away the literary husks of the kind of bourgeois self-interpretation and utilize them as remarkable forms for the public services provided in a culture of consumers, original meaning is reversed.
Don't forget that Lord Bertrand Russell, who was given charge of the Macy Group that came in from Europe, a lot of them fled from Hitler, in fact, and set up in the US, and he was also put into the Vienna School that also came over, and you had the Frankfurt School. He was working with these globalists to create a brand new culture for the world, and he was given authority by the President of the United States, because those who'd fled Germany and all those countries claimed that they were afraid that the West, especially America, would become fascist or Nazi itself. So they were given complete coverage to do whatever they wanted to do, and they went to work. These boys flooded in from Eastern Europe and all through universities right through the 60s, and then they fomented for revolution in the 60s, and that's when it all broke out in the US especially. Yeah.
This idea that they took from the Frankfurt School, which worked with the Freudian School, and you got to really study those two groups, because they're really one group, by the way. And I really mean that. There's things behind what I'm saying you should really delve into and see what their function happened to be. But they said that if they could, the problem with the European male was that he was a violent character because he was sexually frustrated. That was the thing they came up with in order to help destroy society, so that they themselves could rule it. And that was the idea behind it. They could then rule it as a scientific elite through using psychiatry, etc., etc. It ties actually right in with Gerfec, where a child is to be monitored every month for its social opinions, for God's sake, etc. Yeah, so you're just living a script right now. And I've lived this my whole life watching this, because I read this very young, all these books. And I saw them all coming into play in my own lifetime. So they wanted to destroy marriage, of course, because marriage was the main enemy of government, because couples become communities which stand up when the rights are taken away or whatever, you know. So you destroy all opposition, and once everyone's an individual in their own little orbit, helpless and drifting, then government's the boss. And that's what H.G. Wells said. He says, once we have that destroyed, and there's no real community of people who have things in common, like marriage and families, then the government can talk right down to you as the individual, and you're terrified. No one's going to come around to help you. No one. There's no family. There's nothing. And that's, of course, what they put into George Orwell's 1984, when the screen talks to number so-and-so. Yeah, you, he says, you know, you're helpless and you're terrified. So that these groups all worked together from a higher source that guided them all into their particular areas. The other ones, like Bertrand Russell, were to push the scientific, the non-fiction side of things, and how to change society, again, along these same lines. And so they would take, as the novels were coming out to destroy, say, marriage and promote promiscuity, Russell's books were coming out knocking marriage and saying that man is not a monogamous creature, etc., etc., and therefore the state can take up the slack and take care of the children, etc., etc. That's the idea of these big creches came in, they were going to do. So everything worked together. Then the Frankfurt School, that worked heavily with the Freudian school, in fact, they're intertwined completely, at the end of World War II, were given a special order. Eisenhower was involved, and he knew them. But the president of the United States, at the end, Truman, gave him permission to create a new society for the West, beginning in America. And in it, they would promote literally sexual revolution. All the communist things, which people thought had been communist, and they would give charge of the school to the Frankfurt School, the Macy Group. It's another group who were all the same people, by the way, the Macy Group, Franklin School, and the psychiatric associations. And they would literally engineer a whole new type of human by using behaviorism and social indoctrination at school, etc., and massively through entertainment as well. And remember, too, the whole entertainment industry is part of the whole world agenda of destruction of nations. And if you go into the Frankfurt School's documentation, they talked about reducing and destroying all that was, all normalities, everything that was, to bring down society into this new global structure. And that included heterosexuality and things like that too. So as well, remember too, I mean, how come all the media is on board with this all at the same time? There's no doubt about it. You definitely have a monopoly group running all entertainment and deciding what you're going to get indoctrinated with, because entertainment is the best and most efficient way of indoctrination. You'd be surprised how many ideas people pick up on, and it's all through fiction, because their guard is not up. They're not critically thinking or analyzing things. And with a visual medium and drama and so on, you can feel sorry for one group the way it's portrayed and feel guilty, even if you've got nothing to do with the cause of anything, feel guilty about it and so on. This has been used for many, many years. And then even in the African-American cultures and so on, they've had their indoctrination through the rap, hate everybody, hate cops, hate kill cops, all that kind of stuff. That was all from the entertainment industry, and they did not run the entertainment industry, believe you me. So you have to go back into America's cultural wars, a book written by someone who definitely had access to the CIA records, talking about this particular group and the CIA and so on, being given authority to create a brand new culture for the United States of America and the West. And they brought in, starting with jazz, it didn't take on that well, and then they brought in all the real hard rock and so on to destroy and separate generation from generation. That was all part of it too, and the drug industry.
From myself, Alan Ward, this good night to me, your God or your gods go with you.